With Julian on the brown note and a retrospective review of The Social Network, due to having caught it for God knows how many times again on TV, not intending to sit through it again and sitting through it, and I really feel, even despite the acclaim it has got, that it is a much better film now than it was when it was released. I think I gave it a 9 out of 10 when it was released. A lot of people complained bitterly that it didn't win Best Picture or Best Director for David Fincher. In some ways, it's analogous to what Christopher Nolan did with Oppenheimer, creating a biopic that everyone said should win Best Picture and Best Director, and it ended up getting beaten by a much weaker film. I can't remember what it was. From 2010, the story of Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook from its origins to a point where it had tipped over to becoming a global force, but only at the very start of everything. And based on the book by Ben Mezrich, The Accidental Billionaires, and starring in a career best performance and one of the greatest casting decisions this century, Jesse Eisenberg. It's come under some criticism for focusing on nerdy frat boys who like drinking beer and are desperate to have an Asian girlfriend, and that comes through, and that's a little bit off at times, but it's such a background when there's so much more going on here. And Zuckerberg himself has, you know, said we weren't like that, we were really 5 hours a night coding and trying to build something. And the screenplay itself, but which I did think win an Oscar, by Aaron Sorkin, is one of the century's most acclaimed. Watching it again, it is amazing how there is no single scene in this film that drags. Even having seen it probably 7 or 8 times, there is just no scene that sags. The writing is spectacular. We get Jesse Eisenberg as Mark Zuckerberg, and the other pivotal performances are Andrew Garfield, who is spectacularly good here, as his best friend, who he ends up screwing over, Eduardo Saverin, who's now worth something like $24 billion, as and Mark Zuckerberg's worth $180 billion. I think he's the fourth richest man in the world at this stage. And the Andrew Garfield character is the one that puts up the money, fronts the money for Facebook at the start. And then in comes Justin Timberlake as a brilliant performance from him, his best as well, as Sean Parker, the founder of Napster, who complains bitterly as well that he's portrayed as this evil playboy, and he is to a degree. I feel like the historical accuracy of this film has become far less more important as time's gone on. And basically the Justin Timberlake guy is like this siren character that pulls Jesse Eisenberg, Zuckerberg, over to the dark side of wanting fame and fortune and cutting out Andrew Garfield. And this is, and also the other important point is at the start of this process, Mark Zuckerberg's hired by the Winklevoss, very rich Harvard twin brothers and Olympic rowers, and from esteemed American royal family status people. They hire him to write code for Harvard.com, which is a very analogous social media platform to what Facebook would become. He refused to do so. Well, he didn't refuse to do so. He strung them along, pretty much, and released Facebook while he was still allegedly under some form of implied contractual agreement. And they sued him and won about $70 million. Which in the modern parlance isn't a lot. A lot of people have complained about this element, that they didn't deserve a cent, that they really use their position of power to basically get Zuckerberg to give them $70 million. It depends how accurately it's portrayed in the film. I guess if you employ someone to do the same thing that they end up doing, you have to argue whether or not social media platforms, how, you know, if you come up with something like Facebook whilst you're working for Facebook before Facebook is released, it's a grey area. But yeah, there are plenty of people that say they didn't deserve a cent. So the whole film is brilliantly structured around the trial, the the mediation in a boardroom between Mark Zuckerberg and the Winklevoss brothers, who are suing him for damages for breach of, I don't know whether it was copyright or whether it was, you know, the fact that he was developing something they regarded as a rip-off of their idea. And then there's a second boardroom where the Andrew Garfield, Eduardo Saverin character is suing for a much larger amount, as basically the guy that funded Facebook at first. We get to a stage in the story where I think Zuckerberg, you know, say he's got 50% of the shares, and the Eduardo Saverin character's got 37% of the shares, and the Sean Parker character's got 6% of the shares. They basically diluted Eduardo Saverin's stock down to 0.3%, which the courts then decided wasn't actually legal at all. The whole thing is the personality of Mark Zuckerberg and the framing of it, and the fact that Jesse Eisenberg is so suited to playing this character, because there are elements of narcissism and sociopathy and everything else, but he presents such an understandable, in some ways, empathetic character. And he doesn't do much in the way of histrionics at all. His silence in the boardrooms towards the end showed that he's in pain and he really regrets what he's done to his friend. He hates it. And you can tell by Zuckerberg's brilliant performance and his absolute disgust at the Winklevoss brothers as well. There aren't many women in this story, but the two women that are in there occupy the iconic bookends of the film. One of the greatest cold opens in cinema history, with Rooney Mara, who ends up in this very rapid fire exchange between Jesse Eisenberg breaking up with him. And he's awful. He's just this terrible human being and so belittling towards her. And she ends with this iconic, you know what, Mark, you're going to go through life thinking women don't like you because you're a nerd. That's not true. They won't like you because you're an asshole. And then they bookend it beautifully with, I think it might be Rashida Jones. I'm not 100% sure who the actress is at the end, but she repeats the scene but does it differently and ends on something like, you know what, Mark, you're not an asshole. You're just trying really hard to be. There is the class on display in this film is top notch. The cinematography by Jeff Cronenworth is just perfect. The Oscar-winning soundtrack by Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross, who have featured in a lot of David Fincher's movies and made many acclaimed soundtracks, has come to be regarded, again like the movie, in greater esteem years later as one of the great soundtracks of all time. It really is magnificent. Aaron Sorkin's script hasn't been beaten this century. And it's very rare for any film not to have any sort of flag in any direction. But I think the reason it has grown for me is, like I said at the start or earlier in the show when I said I was going to review it, is it's become less about Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook. When they made this film, social media wasn't anything like as big as it is now. They were celebrating 1 million Facebook users in this movie, and they're now, 2 billion? And social media, and it's a weird analogy to make, but it reminded me of Zone of Interest in that in the back of your mind, as in watching Zone of Interest and this beautific garden, and you've got this soundstage of hell that just constantly runs in your subconscious while you're watching the movie. Your subconscious is constantly replaying the last decade or 15 years of the damage to the world that social media has done, and you know, the corruption of the political process and the promotion of people like Trump and Brexit and all of this incredible damage that was so much worse than is mentioned in this film. It kind of hangs thick over what you're watching now as you look back on this almost innocent moment as a prism in the distant past of something that actually became much, much worse. And of the billionaire idiots that dominate our lives, people like Elon Musk seem to be not the Mark Zuckerberg, the more thoughtful Mark Zuckerberg at the end of this film, but the horrible creep at the beginning. It's like these billionaires like Elon Musk have actually regressed to the frat beer drinking idiot at the start of the film. It's like these people dominate our lives now, and instead of like Mark Zuckerberg, for all of his faults, has remained a very private character away from everything. And you see him, you know, you watch this film and the way that he's talking to lawyers and think, in a few years, he's going to be talking to the Senate about Cambridge Analytica, about reshaping the entire world, and doing so in a very negative way, where we're looking at how can we allay the problems that these social media engines have in disrupting and distorting the truth and promoting insane and dangerous ideas, where, you know, mass murderers post their content online. And all of this is given so much richer meaning, but it's also a brilliantly written soundtrack and shot film, as well as the direction of David Fincher. And people always say, you know, Zodiac or Seven or all of these other films, they never mention The Social Network as being his perfect film, and it is. It's the best film that David Fincher's ever directed, and it deserves to be in the top few films this century as well. So in a film that has taken on much more latent meaning but was next to perfect in the first place, I'm going to give The Social Network a 10 out of 10.